हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओम नमो भगवते श्री दक्षिणामूर्ति स्वरूपाय श्री दयानंद रूपाय परम गुरवे परमात्मने परब्रह्मणे। ओम यस्माज्जातं जगत् सर्वं यस्मिन्नेव प्रलीयते येनेदं धार्यते चैव तस्मै ज्ञानात्मने नमः। ॐ ब्रह्मविदा आप्नोति परं तदेषाभ्युक्ता सत्यं ज्ञानमनन्तं ब्रह्म यो वेद निहितं गुहायां परमे व्योमन् सोऽश्नुते सर्वान् कामान् सह ब्रह्मणा विपश्चितेति। ओके नाउ वी आर seeing Shankara Bhagavatpada's Bhashyam presenting the analysis of the Lakshana Vakyam Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. We have already seen the meaning of the word Sat, the Satyam. And what we have to finally understand as the meaning of the word Satyam is, Satyam means real. Real is that which does not undergo any change. Which does not undergo any change means what? Which cannot have any beginning or end. So, Satyam, real, means changeless, that which is changeless. Changeless means beginningless and endless. Beginningless and endless means which has independent existence, causeless. So, the independent reality, independent, beginningless, endless, changeless reality is Brahma. So this word negates everything else which is subject to change. So Brahman is not anything which is subject to change. So Brahman is not anything subject to change means the entire objective universe will become negated as what? Abrahma, non-reality. Brahman is not anything that is experienced here. Because everything else is subject to change. So it also negates what Brahman is not. Because everything else subject to change is not Brahma. So Brahman is that which is real, which is real is that which is changeless. Then, having seen that meaning, now we have come to the analysis of the word Jnanam. And here again, we understood, even though Brahman as a changeless reality, has the status of being the cause, but still, even though Brahman has the causal status, still Brahman is not subject to change. Because any cause subject to change. Brahman is not subject to change. Because Brahman has no karakatvam. And as a cause, subject to change must be inert also. Any cause generally is subject to change and it has a cause. Any cause must have another cause and subject to change must be inert also. But at the same time, Brahman is changeless and it's an absolute cause because there's no other cause. At the same time, it is not inert like any other cause. Because Brahman is of the nature of knowing, Jnanam Brahma. Therefore, we have arrived at that word. Now we are seeing the analysis of the word Jnanam. And yesterday I explained very clearly the word Jnanam. I am repeating today the word Jnanam. Meaning knowing or knowledge is a noun, is a gerund. So the root gya with the ana affix can give various meanings. Jnanam can mean the knower. Jnanam can mean the knowledge, object of knowledge. Jnanam can mean the instrument of knowledge. So, jnanam also can mean the vritti jnanam. The jnanam associated with the vritti, vritti jnanam. But even though the word jnanam can mean all other factors, still the word jnanam here does not mean any of them. The word jnanam implies pure consciousness, the abstract formless reality, the pure consciousness. Therefore, here jnanam is jnaptihi avabodha. We understood all that yesterday itself. Generally, bhavasadhanaha jnana shabdaha natu jnana kartru. Brahma Viseshanatvat, we understood already, as this word comes as a definition of Brahman, along with other two defining words, Satyam and Anantam, the word Jnanam does not mean the subject of knowledge, Jnanakarta. That we understood. Then we understood, next also understood. If at all we say Brahman has the status of being the knower, then the satyata anantata, the status of being changeless, the status of being limitless will not fit. It will contradict the meanings of other two words. Therefore, the meaning conveyed by one word, one lakshanam, should not contradict the meaning conveyed by another lakshanam. If Brahman has the status of being the knower, then it must be subject to change. If it is subject to change, it is not possible to say Brahman is Satyam, Brahman is Anantam. If Brahman is taken to be the knower, then Brahman will be mistaken to be, Brahman should be what? Subject to change. Then we cannot say Brahman is Satyam. Then if Brahman is taken to be the knower, it must be different from the known and the knowledge. Then Brahman must be limited by other factors, knowledge and known. Then we cannot say Brahman is Anantam. Therefore, he also defined in his beautifully, Shankara Bhagavatpada, yadhi nakutaschit pravibhajyate tad anantam. That which is not divided, limited, by any means, anything else is anantam. If Brahman has the status of being knower, then being different from, being separated from Nyayam and the known and the knowledge, it cannot have the status of being limitless. Therefore, what? Brahman, the word Jnanam does not mean Jnata, the knower. So, Brahman is not the subject of knowledge. Brahman is not the knower. And having established this fact, Brahman is not the knower. Brahman, the absolute reality implied by the term Brahman, is not the knower, not subject of knowledge. Having made very clear, to support this unfoldment, to support this commentary, Shankara Bhagavatpada quotes a mantra from Chandogya Upanishad, where we stopped yesterday. Is it clear now? Okay, come back to the class. Are you all with me? Okay. Yatra nanyadvijanati sabhoma. Yatra nanyadvijanati sabhoma. Atha yatranyadvijanati tadalpam. Atha yatranyadvijanati tadalpam. So, iti shrutyantarat. Thus, from another Upanishadic statement, shruti antaram shrutyantaram, another Shruti statement. Even though Shruti means the whole Veda, Upanishad being part of the Veda, the end portion of the Veda, Upanishad also is said to be Shruti. Of course, Upanishad also is Shruti. The Shruti Antarat means what? From another Vedic statement, another Upanishadic statement, the same fact is revealed. What is the fact? Brahman is not the subject of knowledge. Brahman is not the knower. One thing. But this mantra, not only does it say Brahman is not the knower, this mantra also implies another fact. There is nothing else other than Brahma. Brahman, these two facts are revealed by this statement. Yatra nanyat vijanati sa bhuma. And as the itself explained, bhuma is a synonym of the word Brahma. In nominative case, I'm repeating this for your knowledge, understanding, so not to forget this. Many times I have told this. Brahman is an akarantaha napumsakalingaha shabdaha. Brahman is a neutral gender word ending with the consonant nakara, na. Whereas bhuman is also a word ending with the nakara, but pullinga shabdaha. Nakarantaha pullingaha bhumanna shabdaha. But meaning is the same. Bhuma is equal to Brahma. So in nominative case, Bhuma. So Brahma means that which is limitlessly big. Bhuma also means that which is infinite, limitlessly big. So instead of using the term Brahma, the word Bhuma is used. Now also yesterday I told you, this mantra is quoted. This mantra is discussed by the sage Sanat Kumaraha in order to answer Narada's question when he wanted to know what that Bhuma was. Because it is the knowledge of Bhuma which alone will relieve a person from all forms of suffering, all forms of problems for good. Therefore, it's a paravidya, exalted knowledge. Bhuma vidya is paravidya. So what is Bhuma? Kaha Bhuma? Bhuma kaha? Bhuma kaha? Brahma kim Bhuma kaha? That's the question. And again, as I told, even though the word yatra is a relative term, which means where, it's an indeclinable word, but yatra should not be taken as where, yatra should be taken as yat. Yat anyat na vijanati sahabhuma. So that which does not know another thing is Bhuma. This is the literal translation. That which does not know another thing is infinite reality. Atha then, yatra anyat vijanati tad alpam. And that which knows another thing is finite, limited, alpam. Thus, from another Shruti statement also, the same fact is made very clear. Even though the defining word jnanam can mean the knower, so Brahman is not the knower. The word jnanam does not mean the subject of knowledge. So anyat na vijanati means Brahman does not know another thing. Does not know means what? Brahman is not the knower. Another thing implies there is no another, there's no a second thing other than Brahma. The two facts are conveyed in this one statement. Brahman is not the knower. Brahman is not associated with any action, including the act of knowing. Because Brahman is akarta. Brahman is actionless. Brahman is actionless because Brahman is changeless. Okay. Therefore, Brahman does not know. Brahman is not the knower. And Brahman does not know another thing means there's no other thing to be known also other than Brahma. This is the fact conveyed here. So that which alone is, that which does not know is Bhuma. Then, yatra anyat vijanati tadalpam. That which knows another thing, that which knows another thing is what? A limited. Limited by the known as an over. Therefore, that is finite. Limited. So, what is Bhuma? Bhuma kaha alpam kim. That's made very clear here. But here, Purapakshi had a doubt. That's where we left. Understand now, we come to the point. Purapakshinaha kaha samshayaha. Kaha sandehaha asti purapakshinaha. Purapakshi here is an opponent. What is his doubt? Nan yadvijanati iti. Na anyate vijanati iti. Vishesha pratishedhat atmanam vijanati iti. What does Purapakshi say here? The Advaitin's interpretation or the unfoldment of the mantra quoted from Chandogya Upanishad is yatra anyat na vijanati means Brahman is not the knower. Again, there is no second thing other than Brahma. This is the meaning interpreted by an Advaita. So Brahman is not the knower, means Brahman is not associated with any action. But here Purapakshi says that sentence can be interpreted differently. Purapakshi wants to interpret that sentence differently. What does she say? Yatra yad anyat vijanati saha bhuma. That is bhuma which does not know anything else. Means Brahman knows itself. Brahman does not know anything else. Brahman does not know another thing. Anyat na vijanati. Yat anyat na vijanati saha bhuma. That is bhuma which does not know another thing. If that means does not know another thing, means Brahman knows itself. It's Purapakshi's interpretation. Brahman does not know another thing, but Brahman knows itself. Brahma atmanam janati. Brahma swayam janati. Brahman knows itself. Still, that sentence implies Brahman is the knower. Doesn't matter whether Brahman knows another thing or himself. That sentence does not clearly state Brahman does not know anything at all. It only states Brahman does not know another thing. Therefore, what does it mean? Brahman does not know another thing, but Brahman knows itself. Still, we cannot interpret that sentence as what? Brahman is not the Brahman is non-knower. It cannot be interpreted as that Brahman is non-knower. That is one thing. So he says, how does he say? Anyat na vijanati iti visesha pratishedaha asti. Visesha pratishedat. Visesha pratishedaha means specific negation. Anyat na vijanati. Brahman does not know another thing. Another thing is what? Specific negation of another thing. Visesha pratishedaha means specific negation. So, visesha pratishedat, as there is specific negation of what Brahman does not know, is another thing. Therefore, atmanam vijanati. Got it now? Atmanam vijanati. Brahman knows itself. Visesha pratishedhat, as there is specific negation of what Brahman does not know, that another thing, that sentence means atmanam vijanati. Brahma knows itself. Okay? Which means Brahman is knower. Iti chet, if Purapakshi says, if I interpret it in such a way, Brahman knows itself, because in the sentence there is specific negation of what Brahman does not know is another thing. The Brahman is knower. Is it clear? Okay. The Shankara Bhagavatpada has to say what? Na. Na. Do you see the na? Na. No. Brahman is not the knower. That sentence does not state Brahman is the knower. He says, why it is not Brahman is not the knower. He says, Bhuma Lakshana Vidhi Paratvat Vakyasya. Vakyasya Bhuma Lakshana Vidhi Paratvam Asti. Got it? Vakyasya Bhuma Lakshana Vidhi Paratvam Asti. What does it mean? This sentence has Vakyasya Asti. Kim Asti? The sentence has the status of having the priority of presenting the definition of Brahma. Bhuma Lakshana Vidhi Paratvat Vakyasya. The sentence has the priority of defining Bhuma. Sentence has the priority of defining Bhuma. The sentence does not have the priority of stating whether Brahman is the knower or the not non-knower. Brahman is the knower of objects and knower of the self. The statement does not have the priority of saying whether Brahman knows itself, Brahman knows other things. No. The statement has the priority of defining Bhuma, the absolute reality, Bhuma. Therefore, yatra nanyat pashyati ityadi bhumnaha lakshana vidhiparam vakyam. Chakrabhupada explains, please see that what is the purpose of that sentence? What is that sentence meant for? Isn't it? Vakyam kimartam. What is that vakyam? What is that statement? That statement's priority is not in stating whether Brahman knows itself or whether Brahman knows other thing. No. The priority statement is presenting, discussing the definition of Brahma. Yatra nanyat pashyati ityadi bhumnaha lakshana vidhiparam vakyam. See, bhumnaha is a sixth case. Bhumnaha lakshana vidhiparam vakyam. Yatra nanyat pashyati sa bhuma. That sentence, yatra nanyat pashyati sa bhuma, that statement is of the priority of presenting the definition of Brahma. Bhumnaha lakshana vidhi param vakyam. The sentence has the priority of presenting the definition of Brahma. Okay. Why does that statement present the definition of Brahman as that is Bhuma which does not know another thing? That which does not know another thing is Bhuma, the absolute reality, implied the term Bhuma. Why does that statement present that fact? He says, Yatha prasiddhameva. Just as, okay, clear yatha prasiddhameva. In this world, it is very well known. Prasiddham means what? Well known. What is well known? There is a relatively real fact. Relatively real fact is well known. What is relatively real fact? Prasiddhameva. Anyaha anyat pashyati iti. Anyaha anyat pashyati. Anyaha means another person, one person sees another thing. One person sees another thing, one person knows another thing. Another thing means what? Any thing which has the status of being existent is an object. An object is that which is known. Therefore, whoever here, another, any given person sees another thing, means what? Anyaha anyat pashyati. Any given person sees another thing, means this experience of duality, this experience of knower known duality. Anyaha anyat pashyati iti. Any given person sees another thing. Thus, this knower known duality is relatively real. Knower known duality is not absolutely unreal. Knower known duality is not absolutely unreal. It is not absolutely real also, but it is relatively real, empirically real, objectively real. Empirically, relatively, knower known duality is real. Why it is real? It is very well known, prasiddham. Knower known duality, as one person knows the other thing, is very, very well known for everybody in the world. Is there a world of duality? Is the experience of duality, knower known duality, seer seen duality? If it is asked, who can say no? Everybody can say, anybody can say, yes, there is knower known duality. I am the knower, the world is known to me. One person is the knower, there must be something else which is known. One person knows another thing. This experience of knower known duality is very well known in this world as one person knows another thing, because it is relatively real fact. Relatively real fact. It's not absolutely real. But the problem is we mistake this knower known duality to be absolutely real. There's another problem. Okay. But here he says, iti yetad upadaya. Iti yetad upada. Upadaya means upa, a, da is the root. A, dadati gives. But adaya. Upa adaya. Upa adaya. Upadaya means what? Having based on this relatively real fact. Based on. Etad means this. Upadaya, based on this, having based on this relatively real fact, a well-known fact, that there is experience of knower known duality as one person knows the other thing. Duality. Upanishad states, presents this sentence. Why does Upanishad present this sentence? Because this sentence is meant for defining Bhuma, Brahma. When the Upanishad wants to present the definition of Brahma, because the Bhuma, the reality, has to be understood. So Upanishad presents the definition. And Brahman is something to be known, unknown for us. When something unknown has to be brought to light, what is known should be taken as the basis. From the teaching is, okay, from the known to the unknown. We are helped to discover what is unknown from known. What is known to us? What is not known, known duality is known to us. Yes, there is known, known duality. Because this is what we experience in this world. So, this is already known. From this known fact, what is unknown has to be arrived at. What unknown is Brahman? What is Brahman? A Brahman is that which does not know another thing. Means that in which there is no knower known duality. There is no knower known duality. Brahman is that which is distinct from this knower known division. Because the very word Bhoma itself means what? Infinite. Limitless. If this reality, absolute reality implied by the term Bhoma, meaning limitless, infinite, is that in which there is no knower known duality. Which means the Brahma is that which is distinct from the knower known division. Which is free from knower known division. Therefore, as this sentence has the priority of presenting the definition of Brahman. The priority is not in discussing whether Brahman knows itself or other things. And here, based on our already known experience that there is world of duality, knower known duality, which is very well known. Based on that, which means it helps us to negate what? So, Brahman is not the knower, Brahman is not the known, Brahman is not anything which involves knower known duality. It helps us to distinguish Brahman from the world of duality. Iti yatra tat nasti yatha prasiddhameva anyaha anyat pashyati iti upadaya iti tad upadaya iti tad upadaya. Having based on that fact that there is well-known experience of the knower known duality, as one person knows the other thing, while defining the Bhuma, the absolute reality, the statement says, yatra tat nasti, where that division, knower known division, knower known duality is not there. Tat nasti means what? Yatra, and here you can take this, where that in which Brahman or Bhuma is that in which tat nasti, that knower known division, duality is not there. Saha Bhuma is absolute reality, ultimate truth implied by the term Bhuma is that in which aware there is no that knower known division, knower known duality. If anything which has, anything has a division in it, then it cannot be Bhuma, it cannot be infinite, it cannot be limitless. Therefore he says, yatra tat nasti saha Bhuma, Bhuma kaha yatra jnatru jnana jneya bhedaha nasti. Triputi Bedaha Nasti Saha Bhuma. Don't think I am saying this. These words Pooja Swamiji. Now the soul, that's what he said. The whole class comes to my mind. When I talk to you, the whole class comes to my mind. The one beauty is when this is Swamiji, then once if you are attentive, if it goes into your head, it will never go away. Again, you come to this point, it will come back to you. That is Swamiji. Okay. So, yatra tannasti sahabhuma iti. That is Bhuma where in which there is no such division of knower known duality. Iti. Bhumaswarupam tatra jnapyate. There, by this sentence, Bhumaswarupam means what? Bhumnaha swarupam. Bhumaswarupam. Bhumaswarupam is a Shashti Tatpurusha Samasa. Okay? Bhumnaha swarupam, Bhumaswarupam. The essential nature of the swarupam of Brahma, the divisionlessness, differencelessness is revealed. Jnapyate. Jnapyate is a passive verb, isn't it? Jnapyate. Bhuma swarupam jnapyate. The nature of the absolute reality, being divisionlessness, differencelessness, is revealed in that statement or by that statement. So what he wants to say is, when the sentence is presented, the sentence must be interpreted. Sentence must be understood in keeping with the exact context where it is presented. The sentence is presented in the place where there is the reality is defined. So in the context of defining Bhuma, Brahma, the definition of Brahman is presented, not about whether Brahman knows itself or other things. Bhuma swarupam tatra jnapyate. Swarupam of Bhuma alone is reminded, is brought to light, is revealed. That Bhuma is that in which that knower known division is not there. So what should we understand here? Bhuma, saha bhuma, that reality is bhuma, infinite, in which there is no jnatru jnana jnaya triputi bhedaha. That in which there is no knower known knowledge division. Difference. There cannot be knowledge without Brahma. There cannot be knower without Brahma. There cannot be known without Brahma. This absolute reality, Bhuma, without that, there cannot be knower. There cannot be known. There cannot be knowledge. Jnatru jnana jnaya bedaha itself is not possible without Brahma. Because existence of Bhuma is the existence of the knower. Existence of the knower is the existence of knowledge. Existence of Ajji is the existence of the known. Therefore, the existence of Brahman is the existence of knower known knowledge. Therefore, this abstract, formless, absolute reality, ultimate truth implied by the term Bhuma or Brahma is the very truth, very swarupam of knower known knowledge. So that which is the very swarupam of knower known knowledge is free from this knower known duality, free from the knower known knowledge difference. Is it clear? Okay. So he continues to say, Anyagrahanasya. Prapta pratishedhartatvat. I wanted to tell you again in studying the Bhashyam, you come across mostly the sentences ending with the Panchami Vibhakti, fifth case. Because every time, anytime the fifth case is used, the reason is given. The reason for stating something is given. Karanam uchyate, kimartam, ityasya karanam uchyate. When the reason is given, or purpose is mentioned, then the fifth case must be used. Okay. We'll see that. Anyway, I'll explain this later on. And he says, anyagrahanasya prapta pratishedhartatvat. Na swatmani kriya astitva param vakyam. So what he says, this vakyam na swatmani kriya astitva param. This sentence does not have the priority of stating that there is action on the part of the Atma. Swatmani, on the part of Brahma. Swatmani on itself. On oneself. Swatmani, swatmani, swatmani. Kriya astitva param. Vakyam na. See, swatmani kriya asti iti katanam na param. What does it mean? The sentence does not have the priority of stating that there is action, that act of knowing on the part of the Atma, on Brahman. Swatmani kriya astitva param vakyam na. Kidvisham vakyam, what sort of statement it is? It is not the statement which has the priority of saying that there is action on the part of the Atma, an act of knowing on the part of the Atma, Brahma. But it has the, this sentence has the priority of negating. Pratisheda arthatvat. As this statement has the priority of negating. As it is meant for negating. Pratishedaha negation. Pratisheda pratishedarthatvam asti vakyasya. The sentence has the status of being meant for negating. You can simply say this, the sentence is meant for negating. Meant for negating what? Negating the already obtaining well-known understanding. Praptasya pratishedartatva. It negates already obtaining well-known, relatively real experience. That is not there in the part of Brahma. So Shastram, here the sentence does not negate, does not deny our relatively real experience. Please understand, the statement does not deny or negate our relatively real fact of what? The knower non-duality. No. Shastram does not deny our already obtaining, already existing, already well-known experience of our non-duality. Shastram can never go against our perception, can never deny our perception. Shastram never denies our perception, never denies our experience. Shastram accepts our perception, accepts our experience from the standpoint of where we are. And Shastram will help us see what Shastram shows from its own standpoint. Different angle, isn't it? Therefore, here he says, Prapta Pratishedarthatvat Vakyam. This, as this sentence has, as sentence is meant for negating the already obtaining well-known experience of known duality of knowing another thing. Anyagrahanam. Anyagrahanam is what? Knowing another thing. Anyagrahanasya prapta pratishedarthatvam asti vakyasya. I mean, the sentence, what is the purpose of the sentence? The sentence is meant for negating the already obtaining, already known, well-known experience of known non-duality of knowing another thing. That's what the sentence does. It doesn't have any priority of stating or showing the action, act of knowing, or any action on the part of Brahman. Is it clear? What is this sentence for? I'm giving you the best of translation. I can say that. You know why? If we really have to go to every, literally translate, we'll go mad. Because a lot of the components are, literal translation is not possible. We can translate, but it would not sound like English, okay? Okay. Anyagrahanasya, anyagrahana means knowing another thing. Of knowing another thing. Prapta pratishedarthatvat. Swatmani kriya astitva param vakyam na. Na swatmani kriya astitva param vakyam. This sentence is not for stating the action on the part of the Atma, act of knowing on the part of Brahman, the Atma. It is meant for negating already well-known, the overknown duality of knowing another thing. Okay? See, so many times repeating what is made very clear. Brahman is not the knower. Brahman is not the knower means Brahman is not associated with the act of knowing, which means Brahman are not associated with any action. How in Bhagavad Gita, Nahanyate Hanyamani, that one act of killing is taken to state Brahman is actionless. Atma is actionless. Atma is ever of the nature of actionlessness. To say that Brahman, Atma is not killed, Atma does not kill. The act of killing is used to state Atma is absolutely actionless. So here the act of knowing, by stating this act of knowing, what is denied here? The very action. Brahman is not the knower means Brahman is not associated with any action, including the act of knowing. Even though we mistake Brahman to be the knower, Exactly what we're seeing in Bhagavad Gita now. Differently we're seeing here, that's all. Okay. Swatmanicha. Suddenly, Shankara Bhagavatpada uses the term Swatma. From Bhuma, Brahma, he switched on to the word Atma. Why? In Shankara Bhagavatpada's mind, Atma and Brahman are one and the same. What is Atma? All pervasive reality is Atma. The all pervasive reality being limitless is implied by the term Brahma. Isn't it? You know, all pervasive, limitless reality implied by the term Brahman obtaining as one's this very truth of every individual is Atma. You know, he easily switches the words, okay? Swatmani, Swatmani, Swatmani cha, and Beda Abhavat. Swatmani Beda Abhavaha Asti. What does it mean? There is absence of division, difference on the part of oneself, on the part of the Atma. There is absence of division, difference on the part of the Atma means Atmani, Atmani, Swatmani Beda Abhavaha Asti. There is absence of division, absence of difference on the part of the Atma means there is absence of division, difference on the part of Brahma. There is no division. What is Brahma then? This absolute reality is one indivisible, undivided, partless whole. There's no division, there's no difference. Beda Abhavat. Vijnana Anupapattihi. Upapattihi means possibility, tenability, isn't it? Anupapattihi. There's untenability, there's impossibility of the act of knowing. Vijnanasya anupapattihi, vijnana anupapattihi. There's impossibility, there's untenability of the act of knowing on the part of the Atma, the Brahma, due to the absence of division or difference. So act of knowing is not there. No action is possible on the part of the Atma. Therefore, Atma is not the knower. Brahman is not the knower. Why? To be a knower, there must be division, difference on the part of the Atma. Being a knower means being subject to division, difference. And be subject to division means being limited. Therefore, no division, no difference, no limitation. Understand? Therefore, Bheda Swatcha and Swatmani Bheda Abhavat, due to the absence of division or difference on the part of the Atma, Vijnana Anupapattihi, there's impossibility of action on the part of the Atma. It means, no, Atma is not associated with the act of knowing. Okay. If you say, so what now? Now he moves the next word. So Atma is not the knower. Atmanaha cha vijnayatva api nasti. Not only Atma is not the knower, Atma is not the known also. Atma is not the subject of knowledge. Atma is not the object of knowledge also. Atma is neither the subject nor the object. So he says, next sentence he says, Atmanaha cha vigneyatve. When Atma is said to have the status of being the known, when Atma is said to have the status of being the known, when Atma is said to be an object of knowledge, then what happens? Jnatru abhava prasangaha. There is a situation of Atma being not the knower. Okay. Atma being not the knower means what? Then also, Atma becomes limited. If you say Atma is the known, then Atma cannot be the knower. If Atma cannot be the knower means Atma becomes limited as the known, being different from the knower. If Atma is the knower, if you say, Atma becomes limited, being different from the knowledge and the known. Say Atma is the known, still Atma becomes limited by the knower, being different from the knower. So what? Atma is not limited by anything. Atma is not finite. Atma is not limited. Atma is not divided. Atma is of the nature of limitlessness. Atma is ever limitless. The word Anantam states Atma is limitless. Atma means Brahma. Brahman is Atma. Therefore, if we say Atma has a status of being the known, then Jnatra Bhava Prasangaha, there is a situation of Atma being not the knower. Thereby, Atma becomes limited. You say Atma is the knower, Atma becomes limited by the known and knowledge. Therefore, Atma is not the knower, Atma is not the known also. Atma is neither the subject nor an object of knowledge. Again, Atma is something which is unknown for us. Atma is something unknown. We do not know what Atma is. We do not know what the reality is. That is why here Atma is presented as what? Atma is presented as that which has yet to be discovered. Jnayatve naiva viniyuktatvam asti atmanaha. Viniyuktatvat means what? As Atma has the status of being presented as something, as that which has yet to be discovered. Jnayatvena eva viniyuktam. Viniyuktam means what? Presented. Atma is presented as something yet to be discovered. Atma is not the known, Atma is not the knower, but Atma is presented as that which is yet to be known, yet to be discovered. Yetvena eva viniyuktatvat means what? Atma is not the knower. Atma is not the known also. Whatever you say, then Atma becomes limited by the other. Atma is knowledge, if you say, Atma becomes limited by knower and the known. You say known, it becomes limited by knowledge and the knower. You say the knower, becomes limited by knowledge and the known. So whatever you say, Atma is limitless. The Atma is not any of the three, knower, known, knowledge. Atma has the status of being presented as that which has the status of being to be known, being known. Means Atma is presented here as that which is yet to be understood, yet to be discovered. Okay. So I'm going to stop here, time being. I'm going to say give something. Now, before I enter into the Purva Pakshis, next doubt, etc. Okay. Now, what I should do here now, as part of my teaching, is Atma is Triputi Bhedarahitaha. The absolute reality implied by the term Atma or Brahman or Bhuma is free from this threefold division. Knower known knowledge division is free from knower known duality. It means Atma is neither the knower nor the knowledge nor the known. But Atma is very truth of knower known knowledge. And what is that Atma? What is that Brahman or Atma which is the very swarupam of the knower known knowledge? So we understand Jnaptihi. Jnaptis Swarupaha. Remember we saw yesterday the class? Jnaptihi. Jnanam is Jnaptihi. Jnaptis Swarupaha. So this Brahman or Bhuma is of the nature of pure knowledge. Pure knowledge means what? Not qualified, not associated, connected with any of the thought form or any of the gross form. We are not physically, we cannot separate physically the Atma from Anatma, any form, but cognitively, intellectually, we can discern the Atma, the reality implied by the term Atma. So Atma is Jnapti Swarupaha means how do we understand? And here we have to remember the basic prakriyas. Now we try to understand jnanam. Then by understanding jnanam, the meaning of the word jnanam, we can understand actually the meaning of the word satyam and also the word anantam also. That is why always the absolute reality has to be understood, can be understood only as the swarupam of one's own self. As the swarupam of I in one's own mind. You can never arrive at the reality anywhere else. Only in the mind you can arrive at the reality. You arrive at the reality also in terms of its nature, swarupam. How are you going to discover Atma? How are you going to understand Atma? You have to understand the abstract, formless reality implied by the term Atma only in terms of its nature. That is, which nature? In terms of its nature of knowing. First, you can arrive at the nature of reality in one's your own mind in terms of its nature of knowing only. In terms of its nature of consciousness and of pure awareness. And having arrived at the reality in terms of its nature of knowing, you have to understand how it is that reality, which is of the nature of consciousness, is also of the nature of pure existence. Then, what next step? It is consciousness which alone is of the nature of existence, is ever of the nature of limitlessness. So first chit you have to arrive at, then arrive at the sat, understand the sat, then understand anandam or anandaha. Sat chit sat anandaha or jnanam satyam anandam. Even though the word comes satyam, jnanam, anantam, brahma, first you understand the reality only in terms of its nature of knowing as jnanam only. And for which, in our tradition, two prakriyas are specifically used. Two, actually, we have three prakriyas, beautiful prakriyas, but one prakriya Upanishad itself is going to use later on. Let us keep that prakriya for time being. What is the prakriya? Panchakosha prakriya. Panchakosha prakriya, Taittiriya Upanishad is popular because of its inbuilt method of unfoldment known as Panchakosha prakriya, the analysis of five koshas. This is going to come later on. Okay, from second Anuvaka onwards, the whole chapter is going to understand the Panchakosha prakriya. We are going to analyze the five koshas. As a prakriya, analyzing the five koshas itself is a prakriya, is a method of unfoldment. But before that, what is that basic prakriyas we always understand, use in Vedanta class? First one is Drik Drishya Viveka prakriya, the method of distinguishing knower from the known, Drik from the Drishyam. It is otherwise said to be subject-object analysis. Another prakriya is Avasthatraya prakriya, the method of analyzing, the method of arriving at the reality through the analysis of three states of experience. This is Avasthatraya prakriya. So when we remember this, when we distinguish the knower from the known, we understand easily, this very, all of you know very well, we know what is an object. First, how do you define the knower is different from the known, we know very well. What is an object? What is the known? Known is an object. And what is an object? In Brahma Sutra Bhashyam, Shankara Bhagavatpada defines beautifully. I'm not going to Sanskrit sentence, but I'm telling the English translation of it. Anything and everything denoted by any pronoun, any word other than the first person singular pronoun I is an object. Therefore, anything and everything denoted by any word other than the I, first person singular pronoun I, is an object. This is how Vedanta defines the object. Object of knowledge. Which means, I does not denote an object. I denotes, I refers to the subject of knowledge. So, the subject of knowledge, the knower, is always denoted by only the first person singular pronoun I. What is subject of knowledge? That which is denoted by only one pronoun, the first person singular pronoun I, is the knower. So anything and everything denoted by any word, any pronoun other than the first person singular pronoun I, is an object. And we know the subject is different from the object. We never mistake subject for the object. We never mistake object for the subject. Very, very clear. Therefore, here, what we understand, so everything external to the physical body is known, comes under the category of the known. Now, I'm not going to do like kindergarten class, okay? I'm just going to go ahead first. So, here the physical body, gross physical body, sthula shariram, the bhoga ayatanam, is also object of knowledge. Very well known. All the parts which constitute the physical body is an object of knowledge. And inside this physical body, that which indwells the physical body, which gives life for the physical body, is the sukshma shariram, which is not inert, which is conscious, sentient, functional, or subtle aspects, the presence of which lends life for this physical body. It is all subtle aspects. And all subtle aspects also, even though they are invisible and subtle, still they also come under the category of the known, We are all known. Antakkaranam is known. If we can say Jnanendriyani, Jnanendriyani are known, Karmendriyani are known. I'm using Sanskrit terms, okay? Pancha Pranaha, physiological functions are known. Manaha is known, Buddhi is known, Chittam is known, Ahankara is known. And if everything is known. So, therefore, the knower is not the Ahankara. Knower, I, the knower, am not the Ahankara. Known Ahankara. I, the knower, am not the known Chittam, memory. I, the knower, am not even known Buddhi, known intellect, or known mind, known emotions, known anything known. So, I, the knower, am distinct, different from everything known. So, who am I, the knower? So, further, we also use this other prakriya, avasthatraya prakriya, because knower is available for recognition only in the mind. Because mind is an internal instrument of knowledge. Antahkaranam. Antahkaranam is my internal instrument of knowledge. And this antahkaranam also is the subtlest material product, the product of sattvic aspect of five elements, but still it is inert. It has no existence of its own. It has no consciousness of its own, sentience of its own. It cannot be functional by itself. But what is that which really makes this inert, insentient mind conscious, sentient and functional? That is the manifestation of knowledge. Between the mind serves as a manifesting medium, antahkaranam serves as a manifesting medium, that it is capable of manifesting the knowledge. It is subtle enough, transparent enough to be capable of manifesting knowledge. Because the manifestation of knowledge, we say what? Mind is conscious and sentient. Okay, we're not going to see though all the purposes. But here this mind itself being very subtle, how do we understand the antahkaranam? Only in terms of three states of experience. Understanding the mind is in terms of understanding the three states of experience. Because three states of experience are the three states of mind. Every state of experience is nothing but a state of mind. So, Jagrat Avastha is a state of mind, waking state of experience. Swapna Avastha is another state of experience, is mind. Even Sushupti Avastha, the deep sleep state of the mind, is also nothing but another state of mind. So, mind is of the nature of undergoing changes. It can never remain in one state. There'll be a deep sleep state, there'll be two states will be resolved, one state will be there. Isn't it? Mind can never be only in the waking state. There will be deep sleep state, there'll be waking state. There'll be waking state, then deep sleep state, then dream state. From dream, again you have to fall asleep, again to wake up. These are three states of experience. But three states of experience, the experience itself presupposes what? How can there be experience without the experiencer? Something called experience is impossible without the experiencer. The experience presupposes the experiencer. Anubhavaha presupposes the anubhokta. Bhokta, anubhokta, experiencer. So who is this experiencer here? There is an experiencer. And the experiencer must be there in all three states of experience. That is why all experiences are remembered in collect, remembered and recollected and discussed in the waking state. This experience, I'm not doing it differently because just want to quickly want to finish it. So the experiencer is one. The experiencer does not change. Only one and the same experiencer. Only experiencer in the unchanging, continuously existing experiencer in all the changing, discontinuous, mutually exclusive states of experience. And who is that experiencer? Experience there is one. Experiences, states of experience are three. States of experience, states of mind are three. One mind is of three states of experience. But the experiencer is one. Who exactly is the experiencer? To arrive at it, we go to, we analyze the deep sleep state experience. So in deep sleep state, there is no experience of the gross universe, which is experienced in the waking state. There is no experience of the gross objective universe of material things, elemental products. And there is no experience of world of objects projected by thoughts, the vasanas, vasanamaya prapancha, the dream world. There is no experience of dream world of objects. There is no experience of gross element, world of elemental objects. No. There is no experience of objects. There is no experience of objects. There is experiencelessness. Which means this experience of the experiencelessness. The experience of the non-experience of the worlds. Therefore, specifically, there is no ahankara. There is no knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am. There is no knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is. Aham asmi jagat asti. I aham asmi jagat asti. I am here as the knower and there is the world as the known. This knower-known division is there in the waking state. This knowledge of existence of one's own self in terms of I am. This knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is. Therefore, this knowledge of, this experience of duality in the waking state. Dvaita anubhavaha asti in the waking state. Dvaita anubhavaha, knower known duality is there in the waking state. Dvaita anubhavaha asti. Whereas in deep sleep state, there is no knowledge of the existence of one's own self. There is no knowledge of the existence of the world. When you say there's no knowledge of the existence of the self, means what? There is ignorance of the existence of one's own self. There's ignorance of the existence of the world in deep sleep state. This is the difference. What is the difference between waking state and deep sleep state? In deep sleep state, there is ignorance of the existence of the self. There is ignorance of the existence of the world. Self is not existent. World is not non-existent. Self is existent. World is existent. But what is not there? Ignorance of the existence of the self is, ignorance of the existence of the world is in deep sleep state. In the waking state, there's knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am. There's knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is. Because there's knowledge of the existence of the self and the world in the waking state, am I fast? As there is knowledge of the existence of the self and the world in terms of I am and this world is, there is knower known experience of the knower known duality in the waking state. Dvaita anubhavaha is possible in the waking state. As there is ignorance of the existence of the self and the world in the deep sleep state, there is advaita anubhavaha in the deep sleep state. I'm not saying advaita darshanam, okay? Be very careful. In sleep, we do not have the vision of non-duality, but we have the non-dual experience. There is no knower known division, because there is no knowledge of the existence of the self. There is no knowledge of the existence of the world. It means there is ignorance of the existence of the self and the world. In fact, whenever there is ignorance of the existence of the self and the world, that is what is a deep sleep state. Okay. And that ignorance is what? Total ignorance, avidya. That is avidya. Understand? And the total ignorance is an object of experience in deep sleep state. I do not know I am. I do not know the world is in deep sleep state. Which means what? Always you can remember that experience becomes stored in memory. And it becomes recollected. You can talk about a deep sleep state experience in the waking state. The possibility of discussing the deep sleep state experience itself is because of the experience. Isn't it? The total ignorance is known. Even in deep sleep state, the object of experience is total ignorance. Then non-dual experience. Then what? Whenever this non-dual experience, the total ignorance is there, you are yourself. You are yourself, not knowing you are. In sleep, you are not knowing you are. Therefore, what happens when you are not knowing you are? You have no identity. There is non-identity. In total ignorance, identity is not possible. So non-identity being there, you are just yourself. Therefore, there is experience of bliss. So what all you experience in deep sleep state? Total ignorance, non-dual experience, and bliss. What is bliss? Absence of the experience of pairs of opposites. Experience of absence of, the experience of pairs of opposites is what? Experience of bliss. You can't get this meaning in dictionary, okay? Sukham, some sort of sukham, very sukham. Just when you just you're yourself, therefore there is sukham. Just being yourself, there is sukham. But that sukham is what? Temporary sukham, isn't it? And when you wake up from sleep, you're able to recollect. And you're able to recollect your experience and talk about it means you were there. You were very much there in deep sleep state, not knowing your existence. And the question is asked, how do you know that you did not know that you were there? How do you know that you did not know that you were in deep sleep state? Means you were there. And how do you know there was total ignorance? Okay. What is that which knows the total ignorance? What is that which brings to light the total ignorance and bliss? Sukham. What is that which illumines the Advaita Anubhava? What is it? What is that? What is that which knows the total ignorance? Then there is no instrument of knowledge. Without requiring any means of knowledge, without doing anything, simply being present, sannidhi matrena, because of mere presence alone, you know, which means there is a knower experiencer because of whose presence the experience is possible. There's no distance between the known and the knower. That knower experiencer is abstract, formless. What is that which is there knowing the total ignorance? Something which is there, which knows. No vritti, no instrument of knowledge, nothing. Simply that which knows. It's like sun is, opaque thing shines, like that. Which means that knower, experiencer is abstract, formless, inexplicable, subtlest. That which is there as the knower knows, because knowing is this swarupam. By mere presence it knows. That which knows is of the nature of knowing, and that which is of the nature of knowing is Atma, Brahma. That which knows is the reality. That which knows is the reality. When nothing is there, that which knows the nothingness is not nothingness. We are going to see how Shankara Bhagavatpada is going to negate Buddhist view also. That which knows the nothingness is distinct from the nothingness. The knower of nothingness is abstract, formless, inexplicably subtlest reality. And that reality knows not by its action, by its very nature, surupataha janati. And that reality is what? It's conscious. So being conscious of that state of mind is what? The surupam, nature. Being aware is this nature. Knowing is its nature. That's why the pure consciousness, the pure knowledge is the swarupam of the knower I. That pure knowledge, pure consciousness is not the knower, not associated with any act of knowing. Understand? Okay, I'm going to stop now. What is the Purupakshi's next question? We'll see in the next class. Okay. Jnanam Brahma. Okay. Why I'm just telling you today so that we'll next, when we go to the next sentence, it'll be much clearer for you. Easy for me to teach. Okay. So we'll continue next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.